Please turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. We began last week the first paragraph, the birth of Messiah. For continuity, I'll read them again. Luke 2 from verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Last week we saw how at the same time frame that John was born, just 6 months later, Mary and Joseph were found in Bethlehem. And it came about as a result of Caesar Augustus, whose name was Octavius Caesar, who wanted to register all the world, all the inhabited Roman world. There's an example of that in the book of Esther. In the book of Esther, we read about King Ahasuerus, chapter 10 and verse 1, and King Ahasuerus imposed tribute on the land and on the islands of the sea. So it was a custom to register people so that they could be responsible for tribute and that the kings might obtain taxes and tolls and tribute, etc., from them. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. That was before the death of Herod. And Joseph went up with Mary as well, because she would be needing him in her advanced stage of pregnancy. And while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. We read that in verse 7, she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. It was usual to wrap the baby very securely with swaddling cloths. I have a book called Manners and Customs of Bible Lands, and this is what the author says. For years, the Orientals of Bible lands have cared for an infant child much as it was done when Yeshua was born. Instead of allowing the young baby the free use of its limbs, it is bound hand and foot by swaddling bands and thus made into a helpless bundle like a mummy. At birth, the child is washed and rubbed with salt, and then with its legs together and its arms at its side, it is wound around tightly with linen or cotton bandages 4 to 5 inches wide and 5 to 6 yards long. The band is also placed under the chin and over the forehead. The prophet Ezekiel indicated that these same customs at a child's birth were practiced in his day. We read about it in Ezekiel chapter 16. In the day thou wast born, thou wast not washed in water to cleanse thee. Thou hast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. And we are all familiar with the words of Luke as to how they cared for the baby Yeshua. Ye shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. So that's how the babe was wrapped very carefully round so that the limbs would not hang loose. I also mentioned last week that there was no room for them in the inn. The inn was really a caravanserai There's nothing in it except empty rooms, upper floor, and ground level floor, a ground level. On the ground level, they had places, stalls, and mangers for the animals. And then the upper floor, which was reached by stairs, was for the owners of those animals or for the travelers. Then we read in verse 8 through 14 about the angel's announcement of the birth of Messiah. Verse 8, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Messiah, the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Here's the announcement by the angels of the Messiah's birth. And the ones that God chose to hear the announcement were shepherds. That was appropriate for a number of reasons. They were the ones that were looking after the sacrificial lambs that were going to be offered at Passover in the temple or at other times of sacrifice. So for such people to be told of the Lamb of God was appropriate. They would understand. Also, they being shepherds were being told about one who had been born, who was going to be the shepherd of his people. So it was appropriate for shepherds to be told of this. They were abiding, living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. We read about it in verse 8. From Passover till the wet season, when the rains first begin, which is from about March to October, the shepherds would take their flocks out into the fields because it was the dry season. In the land of Israel, there's only the wet season and the dry season. The wet season began last month, October, and it will continue until early March, just before Passover, or just around Passover. And then from Passover to the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot, it's the dry season. And it was during this 6 to 7 month period that the shepherds were out in the fields. Some of the carols that people sing give us the impression they were out in the deep midwinter, shivering in the snow. Well, that's not true to custom. They were out there when it was still warm and dry. And lambing season, that is the time that lambs are born, is around August or September. So it could well be that Messiah was born around the time of the Feast of Sukkot, Feast of Tabernacles. Some others think maybe he was born at Passover time. We cannot be dogmatic about it, but certainly it was within that dry season that he was born. Keeping watch over their flock by night, because it was the time that lambs were being born, and sheep needed to be carefully watched and guarded, and the lambs helped also. They were keeping watch over their flock by night. That in itself is significant, because oftentimes it was at night that God delivered his people, and now it was at night that the deliverer of his people was born. Most appropriate. It was at night that God went through the land of Egypt to smite all the firstborn and to pass over the houses of his people who were keeping the feast. It was at night in the book of Esther that the king could not sleep, and he called for the records of his country to be read to him. And that's when he found out that Mordecai had saved his life. And that night, the whole situation was turned around concerning the people of Israel, and they were delivered. In the days of Hezekiah, we read that at night the angel of the Lord went out and smote the army of the Assyrians that were besieging Jerusalem. So at night, it was often a time of deliverance. So it was very appropriate that the great deliverer should be announced at night. It was in keeping with the history of Israel. Who was that angel of the Lord we read about in verse 9? And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. It could well have been the angel Gabriel. He came to John the Baptist's father. He came to Miriam. And now he would come to the shepherds. We don't know. The name is not given. But it was an angel that stood before them. Verse 9. Stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. They were terrified because this was something supernatural. And usually it happens when something supernatural happens that it does, because it's so unusual, we're not used to it, that it does scare us. There's a great man of God who died recently called Derek Prince. He told us on one occasion that when he and his wife were still in Jerusalem before the War of Independence, that sometimes when they prayed, the house shook. The Holy Spirit shook the house in which they were praying. Their landlord, who was completely bald, said, "Every time these people pray, it makes my hair stand on end." Be it as it may, the supernatural does frighten people because they are not used to it. But the angel had a message of reassurance. Verse 10, then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Here was reassurance. "I bring you good tidings of great joy." Literally, I am evangelizing you. I'm not preaching to you. I am evangelizing you. So to evangelize means to share good news. That's what it means in its basic original meaning. He says, good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. As foretold through the prophet Isaiah, for example, "Thou hast multiplied the nation and increased the joy." That's in Isaiah chapter 9. Or in Zechariah chapter 9, "Rejoice, O daughter of Zion. Your king comes to you." Great joy, literally, to all the people. And that shows the emphasis here that it was first news for the nation of Israel, and then through the nation of Israel to the world. He says in verse 11, "For there is born to you this day," talking to the shepherds as members of the nation of Israel. It reminds us of what the book of Romans tells us. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. It was necessary, said Paul to the people in the synagogue, that this word should first be preached to you. They are the nation that God had singled out to prepare for the coming of the Messiah. Alas, We don't read of many that were prepared when he came. But he says, he continues on and says, verse 11, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Messiah the Lord." Here are some titles that he is mentioning. To you is born this day in the city of David. That would be Bethlehem. A Savior. In Hebrew, Moshiach. That is, one who comes to save. It's a play on the name of Yeshua. It comes from the root verb Yasha. A Savior who is Messiah or Christ. That is his office. He is the anointed one. And then a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And there is his deity. The word for Lord there is the word that is used in the Hebrew scriptures for Adonai. And if we turn back to Jeremiah 23, we read there of the prophecy of the coming of the Messiah. And he is specifically called the Lord there, Adonai. Jeremiah 23, verse 5 and 6. "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteousness." There it is. The title of the Messiah is the Lord or Yahweh. Now, having told the shepherds of something that was unheard of before, he added a sign. Whenever God gave a message which was new and that was difficult to believe, the Lord confirmed the message with a sign. And so the angel too gave them a sign. Verse 12, "And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger." Still, it is just the angel talking to them. This was divine confirmation when an ungodly king of Judah was given the promise that the dynasty of David would yet produce a maiden who would, in her virginity, bear the Messiah, as that from the family of David, the Lord would produce a virgin who would be the mother of the Messiah. He said to King Ahaz, "Ask a sign." So whenever an important message was given, a new message, something that had not been seen or experienced or heard of before, there was a sign. And for them, the sign was that they would find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. Now, how many mangers were there? In the caravanserai, there were lots of mangers. And then there were mangers also in homes. People had mangers in their homes because in certain homes they let the animals in. And the animals used to take shelter in the homes of their owners at night. How are they going to find the manger that is required? Well, at night, they didn't keep a light by the manger. They may have had a lamp burning in their sleeping quarters, but the mangers were all in the dark. So the shepherds would look for a manger where it was lit up. And they would start, not in a private home, but they would start at the inn, at the caravanserai. So that's how they knew where to look. A manger was a feeding trough for animals. Which animal did Joseph and Mary have with them? whom they fed, which they fed from that feeding trough. It must have been a donkey. The humble donkey. The humble donkey carried Miriam from Nazareth to Bethlehem. 4 days' journey. It was a humble donkey that shared his feeding trough with his creator. And much later it was a humble donkey that on whom his master rode in triumph into Jerusalem. See how the Lord chose humble creature, how he honored his creation in that way. This will be the sign to you, verse 12, you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. And then suddenly, verse 13 and 14, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, as at the creation, the angels praised God. We read about it in the book of Job. So now, suddenly, all the crowd of angels were praising God. They saw the wisdom of God. They saw the love of God. They saw the grace of God in the very manner in which the Messiah had come to visit mankind. Not as a king with great majesty and pomp, but as a poor man, identifying himself with the lowliest. And that's why they say in verse 14, glory to God in the highest. Ezekiel had a vision of the angels of God. He says in his vision in Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 12. I heard behind me a great thunderous voice. Blessed is the glory of the Lord from his place. That's a similar blessing to the blessing of the angels. Blessed is the glory of the Lord from his place. When we say Baruch Shem Kevod Malchuto Leolam Vaed, we are saying blessed be the glory of his kingdom. Baruch Shem Kevod Malchuto Leolam Vaed, forever and ever. It's an ascription of praise to God. Blessed is the glory of the Lord from his place. So the angels sang praise to God. They had something else to say. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. That is to say, with Messiah's birth comes the promise of peace. Man is a sinner. God is angry with sinners. But here is God taking the initiative and extending the olive branch. The offended party here is now extending his merciful offer of redemption to sinful man. To on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. In Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, there is that famous prophecy of the coming of the Messiah. And then in verse 5, we read about his nature, of his character. Micah 5 verse 2. But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. That is to say, it is the eternal God who appears as a babe in Bethlehem. And then in verse 5, the first phrase, and this one shall be peace. So when the angels sang and they said, on earth, peace, goodwill toward men, peace had come to them in the person of that infant, that newborn infant who was Messiah. Peace to men, literally to men of his good pleasure. The Lord, says the Bible, takes pleasure in those that fear him. There was the announcement of the angels. And now we come to the response of the shepherds from verse 15 through 20. So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." The angels didn't stay around. They delivered their message and they were gone. But the shepherds were convinced of the message and they urged one another, "Let's do something about it right now." That showed their faith. They demonstrated that they believed what they had heard. They had heard stunning news that God himself had come in the form of a helpless infant, and God himself had become incarnate, was to be found in a feeding trough. To men of reason, that was ludicrous, but the shepherds didn't think twice about it. They were thrilled to the core of their being and they said, "Let's go and see for ourselves this thing that God has made known to us, which the Lord has made known to us. Let us now go to Bethlehem." Some guides in Israel will show you a field and they'll show you a cave or some caves, and they'll say it was in one of these caves that Messiah was born. But he wasn't born out in a cave in a field. He was born in the city. They said, "Let us now go to Bethlehem." The shepherds were out in the field. They didn't start looking around in the field, all the caves of the field, for a manger. They said, "No, it's going to be found in the town itself." So they hastened out of the field into the city. They came with haste, verse 16. And they were looking for a manger that was lit up. That was unusual at night. Usually everybody was asleep, so were the animals. But there was a light shining, and they made a beeline for that place. They may have come to the caravanserai, taken a quick look around, and noticed that one little part of that caravanserai was lit up on the ground floor. So they would rush in. Verse 16. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Here was the sign confirmed to them. It was exactly as they had been told them. And we read about them that when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. In manger scenes, you see pictures of the shepherds kneeling with the wise kings from the east and worshipping the babe. I'm afraid that too is not quite true to scripture. The shepherds came with haste. They may well have bent their knee or bowed to that infant in the manger. We are not told what they did, except that they came in, they saw to themselves for themselves. They may have exchanged some words with Miriam and Joseph and then went around the next morning telling everybody, their fellow shepherds, the people in Bethlehem, the people in all the neighborhood of the city. They would be telling them, "Do you know what happened last night?" They made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. They would say, "That baby that was born last night is no other than the Messiah. And he is God come to us in the flesh. That's what the angels told us." Who would have believed it except humble people? The Bible tells us, God has chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith. God knew what he was doing. He hid these things from the wise and the prudent. He brings to nothing the understanding of those who are wise in their own conceits. These shepherds had a clear faith. It was unsophisticated, And they believed it even as they were told. In verse 18, we read about those who heard it, and all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. They've made known in Bethlehem. Where else would they make known? At the temple, at the sheep market. They were looking after sacrificial flocks. So the ancient writings of Israel tell us that those shepherds were looking after the flocks that were to be offered in sacrifice at the temple. So when the shepherds made their way to the temple, they would be in the sheep market haggling with people over the price of a lamb or over a sheep or over a goat. They would tell them they were the best news carriers of their day. And all that heard marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. They kept hearing, but there was one person who did not hear, and that was Herod the king. He had an insane jealousy. He had an insane fear that someone was trying to take his crown from him. But in the mercy of God, Herod did not hear about this king that had been born in Bethlehem. There's a sad note here, verse 18. All those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds, period. They marveled, and that's all they did. We don't read of any in Bethlehem or in Jerusalem who did what the shepherds did. Go running to see for themselves. Not a word. Oh, how marvelous. My. What sensational news. And that's as far as it went. What a challenge for those who hear the greatest, most wonderful news that God sent his son to be the savior of the world. And for them they say, how wonderful. So there are some people who say, how wonderful, what wonderful news. It's wonderful for you. How wonderful that you can believe it. I wish I had your faith. They don't check up for themselves. They just wonder. And as Paul had to say to the people of his synagogue, beware lest this come upon you that is written in the prophets. Behold, you despisers, and wonder and perish. For I will work such a work in your days that you will in no wise believe, even though it be told you. The importance then of not only hearing and of marveling, but of praising God and acting on what we have heard, receiving it into our hearts, believing it and implementing it in our lives. What did Mary do? Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. What marvelous things had been said about her infant son. He was son of God. So the angel Gabriel told her, he was the one that was going to be an eternal king. He was called Lord. He was called Savior. In the 72nd Psalm, we read about this divine king that he will bring righteousness to the people. The shepherds, verse 20, returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. They went back to their humdrum duties again, but now there had come a new light into their life. They were glorifying and praising God because the great deliverer that they had heard about in the synagogues, read about or read to them, that now God had kept his word. They were not at all put off by the fact that he was born under such humble circumstances. That didn't trip them up at all. They were men of faith. There's a hymn that says, faith mighty faith, the promise sees and views the victory won, laughs at impossibilities and cries, "It shall be done." So these men of faith, these shepherds, are examples to us how when we hear the word of God, we should do as the Bereans do, receive it with all readiness of mind. Well, God willing, next week we'll see the presentation of the Lord Yeshua in the temple and how Simeon and Anna also recognized him and announced him. So the shepherds were not by themselves. There were others who endorsed their message within a month of his being born. There were voices in Bethlehem. There were voices in Jerusalem proclaiming that the Messiah had come. God willing, next week we will look at that.